And welcome into the Friday edition of Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by Chuck McDowell and Medical House Calls, Middle Tennessee's best medical care in the comfort and safety of your own home. For more information, go to medicalhousecalls.com. Medical House Calls, where the nearest clinic is your home. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keys are here with you. We got a whole lot going on today. The Predators will be in Game 3 tonight of their first-round series against Vancouver. We'll get into that a little bit later in the show. But the most of the show today going to be reacting to the Titans and the first-round pick of J.C. Latham out of Alabama. We'll take your thoughts on that. 615-737-1025, our phone number all show long. Joe Rexo, good morning. How we doing?
We're doing okay. You know, got home, got to bed about 12:30. Somehow woke up at 3:45, couldn't go back to bed, so I try to get my second coffee in at 7. It's happening right about now. But we had a fun time at Titans headquarters. We had reporters ripping farts. I mean, it was a wild night, man. It was a wild night. I'll tell you about that off the air.
Okay. I would love to hear it.
Yeah, it's quite a story. I'm probably going to be slap happy today.
That's good.
I'm just going to tell you right now.
Hey, slap happy Joe. I'm cool with it. We're already off to a roaring start. A ripping start.
Yes. Oh, man.
Nick Keyser, good morning. How we doing?
I'm doing great. Yeah, it's hard to follow that up for sure. I had some cookout last night and hung out with some friends.
Oh, so, okay.
Oh, yeah, well, I'll be a little bit more different.
That's good.
It fits into the theme, I guess.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. Nice. But, hey, are we excited for home playoff action, fellas?
We are very excited about all of it. Lots going on. We'll have obviously the day two of the NFL draft going on today as well. So lots going on around here. Let's just start with the obvious. The Titans selecting J.C. Latham out of Alabama at number 7 overall. So the draft through the first 4 picks goes relatively chalk. Now there was kind of some room in the back of my mind of, all right, is somebody going to trade up to 4 with Arizona and get into J.J. McCarthy stuff. But that did not happen. The first 3 picks, Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, which I think was to the surprise of nobody. Marvin Harrison Jr. goes at number 4 to Arizona. And then to me, Joe, that's where the draft kind of really began of, all right, what are the Chargers going to do? Has all the offensive line stuff been a gigantic smokescreen and they're going wide receiver, which is an obvious need for them? Or are they actually going to stick here and go with an offensive lineman? And I guess in the future, when Jim Harbaugh starts talking about how much he loves offensive linemen, I guess we ought to pay attention to him because that's exactly what they did. And Joe Alt, the top target for many Titans fans, off the board at number 5. So Alt off the board at 5, Neighbors off at 6, and you go with Latham at number 7. What do we make of the way the draft shook out in front of the Titans that ultimately led to the Titans and J.C. Latham at number 7.
Yeah, well, Harbaugh, I guess you could say the Chargers half lied, right? Because obviously Charles Robinson came on here, Daniel Jeremiah went with it. A lot of people got all this, Latham's the guy, yeah. Right? Now, of course, remember when Charles came on our show the other day, he also said, and I'm hearing that the Titans would be more than happy to run the card up with J.C. Latham. Well, that turned out to be true. But, yeah. Jim Harbaugh goes, I just really didn't think that was going to be it. I thought, first of all, like, they have to be taking a receiver. And, of course, Harbaugh, great quote afterward. Well, I consider offensive linemen weapons. Yes, Harbster. Get him, Harbs. But I can't say I don't get it for the Chargers. I mean, if you have a great player, you have a great player, and you can move people to different sides. And that's certainly what Titans fans hope works well. But I still feel like actually Latham fit what they needed more because they have a left tackle. But they picked a left tackle, so it'll be interesting to see what they do with it. And then, of course, basically that turned into, I mean, to me, probably the worst-case scenario in terms of Alt's gone, Neighbors gone.
Agreed.
You know, Marv, yeah, he was the top receiver all along, and that's how it played out. The other big lie, of course, just real quick, the other big lie of this draft to me was the Patriots – I think JJ's our number one guy, yeah, right? That turned out to be a big load of doo-doo. But,
wasn't even the fourth quarterback off the board.
Yeah, exactly. Well, speaking of doo-doo, the Atlanta Falcons are absolute morons, but we can get into that later. So, the Titans, look, I mean, this is a great topic. We could, I mean, we have 3 hours. We could sit here for 6 hours, I think, and go back and forth on J.C. Latham. I'm fascinated by the whole thing because there are some people out there with a lot of credibility who are absolutely bullish that he is. There's really analysts I trust who think he's the best guy out there.
Yeah.
And like we've talked about it, like Dane Brugler had him behind Olu. I mean, I think one thing that's going to happen here is that because look, you can't control the Chargers taking Alt. That's just what it is.
Right.
They took Alt.
Right.
But Olu and J.C. Latham, absolutely, they're going to be compared to each other as their careers progress.
No question. Olu goes number 10 to the New York Jets. Well, I guess technically number 11 because they traded back with the Vikings for some reason. But there you go. Olu going number 11 to the New York Jets. Look, I said this yesterday, and we were talking about Latham. I have no problem with Latham, the player. Like I think Latham – I mean, I don't think. I know. Like, I've watched a lot of J.C. Latham. He's really good. So, I think Latham is going to be a good player in the NFL. I have no problem with that. My reservation on the Latham pick heading into all this, and what is still my reservation now on the Latham pick, is can he play left tackle? And quite frankly, I saw way too much of, well, he played left tackle in high school last night. I could not care less about him playing left tackle in high school. He did not play it in college. High school a long time ago, and this is the National Football League. Now, there's two things on that. Number one, we have seen Bill Callahan take players out of college and move them from one side to the other. He's done it many times.
From Alabama.
In his career, he's done it from Alabama as well. So I think the first reaction should be, well, if Bill Callahan is sold on J.C. Latham, which clearly he is based on the comments from both Brian Callahan and Rand Carthon last night, then I think that does make you feel good if you're a Titans fan. Okay, you're talking about one of the best offensive line coaches of all time, clearly believes that J.C. Latham can play left tackle in the NFL. So that's good. I like that. But I would feel a lot better about it, Joe, if there was demonstrated evidence of him playing left tackle at a high level. We just don't have that. So, I like Bill Callahan. I trust Bill Callahan. This is why you hire him. You trust his opinions on this stuff. So like I'm not like in panic mode or anything like that, but I still would have preferred someone that you know beyond a shadow of a doubt could play left tackle. And quite frankly, when the general manager is talking about last night, well, if it doesn't work out, he can play right, and we feel like we got guys that can play left. That is not what I want to hear after you take a tackle at number 7 overall.
Yeah. Well, I don't disagree with any of that. I will say this, though. I mean, I still, you know, this year, I mean, I think they need him at left tackle. I mean, they need it to work out at left tackle. If he's a great player at right tackle, you know, the two best offensive lines in the NFL are what?
Eagles. Niners are up there. Cowboys are up there.
God, I can't believe you're dissing my beloved Detroit Lions. I was thinking of the Lions. But, okay, two of the best. Handful, right?
Yeah.
And they're both of their best players are right tackles. So, like, if he's great and he has to be a right tackle, like, again, be great. If you're Penei Sewell at right tackle, then you can be okay at left tackle. What's with the Lions? All right, Taylor Decker is okay. And then when you help him. Like, you know, if you have one guy who's great, then you can be okay. There was, of course, the Jedrick Wills example with Bill Callahan. I mean, he's Alabama, and he moves him from right to left, and it worked out very well. And I think that the Alabama thing here is, I mean, Brian Callahan talked about this last night. You know, their coaching, their development, all this stuff. I mean, I guess we'll see if that continues. But with the Saban era, there's a lot of certainty from NFL teams. And as I say that, Titans fans are like, yeah, like Chance Warmack. How about that? I mean, we don't know. J.C. Latham could be a freaking Hall of Famer, and he could be a complete bust. I hear you for sure. So it's really interesting, the left tackle thing. First of all, it makes total sense to get on the field early. Evan Neal is there. Evan Neal's left tackle. Evan Neal goes number 7 overall 2 years ago to the Giants. But it's interesting because after that, they brought in Tyler Steen from Vanderbilt, played left tackle. And then last year they had Caden Proctor, who actually, just like Latham, was like a mega. I mean, Latham was like the number 3 player in the entire class, recruiting class, you know, as a left tackle.
Big-time recruit.
But you're right. I mean, it's like, yeah. I mean, everybody plays left. Like, if you're, you know, I mean, I guess unless you have a left-handed quarterback, but basically if you're like the best offensive lineman on your high school team, you probably play that position. I mean, it's good that he's done the – like Brian Callahan really downplayed last night. He's like someone asked about the traits. He's like, I mean, it's just basically like that side, right? Yep. Like you just have to be able to do it on that side. But some guys can't do it as well. I mean, the quarterback blind side is what matters still to me if you have a right-handed quarterback. It is – I mean, it is less – just because where pass rushers line up and stuff like that, like it's, I don't think it's as big of a gap. You used to think of right tackles, well, that's your road grader and your grinder. Your left tackle is your pass protector. I mean, you have to be really good at both.
Correct.
Now on both sides. So, I mean, look, you take him at 7, talk about him being a left tackle. You need him to be a great left tackle. If he ends up being a great right tackle, then I'm fine with it, but that could be problematic early. Like this year for Will Levis, and they're trying to, as Brian Callahan said, keep him upright.
I agree. Now, I would also love to know, you know, if Rand Carthon, who's talking about, well, if he has to play right tackle, we feel like we got other guys that can play left.
Well, who's that? Who's that on the roster
right
now?
That's Petit Frere.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah.
That's not an option.
Yeah, it's not a good option. I agree. I mean, yeah, they might be. Look, I mean, there's a lot of pressure right away for him to be able to plug in and play that position at a high level in this league. That's tough.
Yeah, it's very tough. But again, like I like the player. I do. Like I think, you know, too many people asked. I tweeted basically what I talked about of, well, they better be pretty darn confident he can play left tackle. Otherwise, I don't like that pick at number 7. It really has nothing to do with Latham. Like to me, if you're going to go tackle at 7, you better have solved left tackle. And we'll see whether or not they've done it. I did think it was – I liked that Carthon came out and said, yeah, he's going to start at left tackle to kick things off last night. And it wasn't this, well, we'll see where he fits, if it's right tackle or left tackle. Because that would have – I think that would have sent me over the edge had he come out and said that last night.
It was the right move to say he's going to start at left tackle. They think he'd be left tackle. You're right. There's little confidence coming from – well, you know, there's other answers. Like,
Right. Like, well,
we've seen 2 years of there are no answers.
Exactly.
So that was maybe not the best follow-up. You know, he also talked about they could pick up people out there, and, I mean, that's fine. I guess what, is Andres Pete still
floating
around?
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, it's going to be – he's going to get every opportunity. And, look, you got to allow for some rookie, you know, issues and things like that. But there is something about this. I got a text from Josh from Dixon that I got to react to, but I probably need more time than we have right now.
Okay, we'll get into all that. Take your reaction all show long. The Titans select J.C. Latham at number 7 overall at the tackle position. We'll take your thoughts on that. Your thoughts on the first round of the NFL draft last night, 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.
In the 2024 NFL Draft, the Tennessee Titans select J.C. Latham.
Oh, no! Left at a tackle! Oh, no! No! God!
You know what? The
no.
The liquid in Jared's glass.
Man.
Hey, do you believe it? Hey, Jared, do you believe?
Brown.
That was Jared last night, right when the pick was going down. J.C. Latham selected by the Tennessee Titans.
There you go, Michael and Madison. He just asked for it. You just got it.
He did. It was quite the reaction from Stilly last night. I knew. Well, first off, you know, I saw Charles, quite frankly, Charles Robinson tweeted and tipped the pick like 2 minutes before Roger Goodell actually got it there and said it.
Robinson had it first?
Yeah, he did.
You
so he's,
sly.
He's the first one that I saw have it anyway.
Sly devil, Charles. Why don't you text me, Charles?
So, I knew that it was going to be Latham, and I knew that once Jared figured out that it was going to be Latham, that he'd freak out, so I turned up the volume on my YouTube feed of them doing the show last night, and it did not disappoint.
We should have piped that into the Titans media room at Titans headquarters.
We should have.
I tell you what,
No!
Too bad Jared's too soft to come on at 7 and explain himself.
I know. Apparently, electing to sleep rather than come on our beloved
Jared
program.
Poor Jared needs to sleep after crying so much.
Because we've gotten a ton of sleep this week on this program watching playoff hockey all night. It's good stuff.
Thanks a lot, Jared.
Appreciate your help, Jared.
Yep. Cool.
Oh, no!
A 9-minute run.
He said, no.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
That's pretty good stuff.
All right, along the lines of that freak out, let me go to Josh from Dixon. This is a good – I have a rant actually against – I'm back and attacking people we work with. But Josh from Dixon says, this was a terrible pick at number 7, and I'm so tired of this crap with this organization. I thought it was going to be different this year. And Bill Callahan isn't the GM. He shouldn't be making the picks. I'm done with Randy needs to go. I'm just so disappointed, so tired of taking offensive linemen in the first round. At some point, we have to draft playmakers. Okay, the last point, that's fine. But this is one of the big points that I have here, which is, like, if you're a Titans fan and when they hired offensive line coach Bill Callahan, you're like, yeah, whatever. Okay, that guy, yeah, go coach offensive line. I don't want his input on anything. And that's fine.
Yeah.
But, like, if you were excited about that, which I think you should have been because, like, his track record suggests that not only is he great at coaching offensive line, he's good at evaluating them. Like, I don't understand if you were excited back then, how you would totally dismiss, like, the Bill Callahan, like J.C. Latham now, which we heard before the draft
right.
And certainly heard after the draft. Like, I mean, if I have Bill Callahan on my staff, damn right I want him. He's not making the picks, but I am absolutely utilizing his input, not just because I'm his son.
Well, I'll be totally honest with you. That's the main reason that I'm not, like, freaking out about this pick is because it is Bill Callahan, and he clearly does have confidence that he could play the left side. I mean, look, I said this in the pre-draft process, and I think somebody asked us one time when Kuharsky was on, like, who would you have a problem with the Titans taking? And when you look at the realistic available players that were going to be around them, it was hard to come up with an answer because I believe all the players are good. But my answer was Latham because I have not seen him play left tackle at a high level. That was the reason. So the only reason that I feel okay about this is because of Bill Callahan, and he clearly believes he can play the left side. Because I'll be honest with you, if they didn't have Bill Callahan and they made this same pick, I would hate it at number 7 overall. If you had just drafted a guy to play left tackle who we have not seen play left tackle, particularly when Fashanu's still on the board, he goes 4 picks later. We've seen play left tackle.
Right. Mike from Nashville says, disappointed is an understatement. Game changers went after him. The Titans took yet another, quote, well, he might work at our critical need. What happened to take the best player? The problem is, Mike, like, how do you know he wasn't the best player on their board? I mean, right. I don't know that. I mean, every team says that their pick is. That's what they said to Skronsky last year.
Sure.
But, I mean, look, if you think like if you think Roma Dunze would have been a better pick, hey, I would have liked Roma Dunze there.
I would have liked to have seen him do that.
I would have liked – I mean, I would not have hated Brock Bowers. Where did Bowers end up going? 14?
13 to
13
the
to the Raiders. Yep. It was 13, yeah. So I understand that if it's it, – look, I'll say this. They're never going to show us the board. If those guys were higher on their board and they said, yeah, but we have this need, then I do think that as a rule, that's where teams get in trouble. But you don't know that he wasn't the best player on the board. Look, we did have information, including, again, Charles came on this show talking about the Titans' love for J.C. Latham.
Yep.
Whether you agree with it or disagree with it, their love for J.C. Latham was not a huge secret going into this. Well, and he came to Nashville, and apparently, according to him last night, and by the way, media, they're going to love J.C. Latham. apparently, he sat there for 2 hours with Bill Callahan and, like, you know, just went through a lot of film and stuff. So
unveiled new techniques that he'd never heard
yes,
of.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. Yoda.
Yeah.
Yoda sitting down with Luke already.
Well, and look, if he can play the left side and that's a pretty seamless transition for him, then again, I like the player. I really do. Like, Latham is an absolute beast. Like, if you watch him play and – you know, there's a lot of commentary on this last night, including some from Nick Saban, which we're going to get to a little bit later in the program. But, like, when he gets his hands on it, you're in serious trouble. And so if he can transition to the left side and that's pretty seamless for him, then that's great. Like, like physically, I feel really good about it. Like, I think he's got a lot of the tools that you want to see. So, again, like, Latham – the pick itself in terms of just the player, I think is really good. I have no problem with J.C. Latham. Like, J.C. Latham is, from a talent standpoint, he is worthy of being chosen where he was chosen last night.
Okay, so if J.C. Latham, they play him, they go to the left side, it's like, eh, it's not good enough. let's try him at right side. It's just, it clicks perfectly, and he's like a, you know, a five-time Pro Bowler with the Titans. Was it a good pick?
It's a good pick, but again, like, what is Roma Dunze? What is Olu Fashanu?
What's Olu? Yeah,
because sure. If both of those guys are the same thing, you've got two premium positions. Right tackle, I would not call a premium position. Now, that's not an unimportant position. It's clearly important. That's the other thing. Like, people were saying last night, well, with pass rushers in the NFL, they come from both sides now, so right tackle just as important as left tackle. And no, it is not. Right tackle for a right-handed quarterback is not as important as left tackle. It's important, but it's not as important as protecting your quarterback's blind side.
Yeah.
So let's distinguish between those two things. So, yeah, it can be a good pick, but I still think some of that answer, if he's not a left tackle, is, all right, well, Dunze was on the board. You had an opportunity to take him. You didn't. What kind of a receiver does he turn into? Bowers was on the board. You didn't take him. Fashanu was on the board, who we know is going to play left tackle, and you didn't take him. So what are those guys? That would be part of my answer.
For sure. Yeah. Yeah, of course. We're always going to compare guys they could have taken. But again, like the Joe, here's just a random thing I saw. A friend of the show, Robbie Weinstein, who covers Vanderbilt, and he's like, Titans totally outmaneuvered again. And I'm like, well, if the team ahead of them picked Joe Alt, I don't think that's out. Yeah, like, last year you could say that with the whole Stroud thing and all that.
What do you want to do, trade up to four and give up draft capital to go to Arizona?
You're absolutely not doing that. You know, and people asking about the trade down, Rand Carthon said they got calls. They didn't like the calls. Now, he also was asked, because remember, the other day he said there are a couple guys we're not moving off of, basically, no matter what.
Right.
He was asked if he was one of them, and he said basically, well, if there was such a list, he's on it. Okay, whatever that means. But, you know, again, we don't know what the offers were. We're probably not going to know what the offers were. So they picked him. And some people, you know, look, if you're upset because you wanted them to get a playmaker, someone's like, I'm not getting a jersey of a right tackle, and that's fine. But, and I understand in general Titans fans like sick of seeing offensive linemen picked over and over again high. Like, this is why when you fail over and over again, you have to keep doing it. But, I mean, it makes sense, certainly, in terms of a need.
I mean, if you're surprised that the Titans went offensive tackle at number 7 overall, I don't really know what to tell you. I mean, look, just me personally, and look, I'm not a draft evaluator, and I'm not, you know, Bill Callahan or Brian Callahan or any of these guys. When Alt was off the board at 5, my first thought process was, all right, well, you're gonna have one of Neighbors or Dunze sitting there for you. And I would have liked to have seen them go a Dunze because of, Joe, my own personal belief that I think he's gonna be an absolute stud in the NFL. Like, that's the reason. But if you're the Titans and you're viewing Latham the same way of, yeah, he's gonna be a stud in the NFL, and we feel very confident he can play at our biggest position of need right now at left tackle, then I totally understand that part of the pick.
Zach, football and other F words, says, fully agree with you both. Part of it is Titans fans pigeonholing themselves into the only two outcomes, which is Alt and Neighbors, and we're brainwashed by the national media that those are the only good outcomes. Again, there were some people, I mean, it's a wide range. We'll get into some of the different evaluations of Latham. It's really interesting. There's quite a range. And obviously you want someone to, everybody's agree. There's a lot more unanimity with Joe Alt. And I think I think the ceiling between the two is real similar. The floor, though, to me, right now, especially for this year, like Alt, I think he's going to plug in, play at left tackle, and you feel pretty good about it. There's still a lot of question with that with Latham. But ceiling-wise, I don't think there's much difference.
More of your thoughts on the Titans selection of J.C. Latham at number 7 overall. We'll take your phone calls, your text, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Tune in to 94.9 The Fan. Today is Vanderbilt baseball takes on Mississippi State with pregame at 5:45. First pitch at 6 o'clock. Vanderbilt baseball brought to you by Smoky Mountain Tops, your countertop experts. Visit SmokyMountainTops.com. The Titans selecting J.C. Latham out of Alabama at number 7 overall last night to play left tackle. Taking your reaction to that, 615-737-1025. So I watched the entirety of the first round last night on ABC with Saban on the panel with Kirk Herbstreit and Reese Davis, and Desmond Howard was up there. I thought he was
really good, first off, which was kind of surprising. Like, he was cracking jokes. He was offering really cool opinions. He was criticizing people. I was like, what's going on here?
Wow.
Nick Saban's good on TV.
The Nick-tator.
Who would have thought?
The Nick-tator, baby.
He was good. I thought he was really good. But obviously, he's got a pretty unique perspective on J.C. Latham, and he offered that perspective in the immediate aftermath of the Titans selecting him at number 7 overall. Last night, here's what Nick Saban had to say on the Latham pick.
You know, J.C. played great ball for us, man. He was a leader on our team. You talk about being physical and dominate the line of scrimmage. I mean, this guy is as powerful as anybody as we've ever had. And he gets your hand, when he gets his hands on you, you've had it. And a fine young man. I mean, really, really hard worker. Everybody on the team loves the guy. I mean, I'm so happy for him and his family. And when it's your guys, yeah, and you know it's their dream,
yeah,
it just makes you feel so great when they get the opportunity.
You know, Coach, if you look at his game and where he went from a freshman to where he is right now, would you say he's natural as a run blocker and got better as in pass pro, or the other way around? Where did his game start, and what are they picking the Titans?
No, I think he was always a big, old, powerful guy,
yeah,
that could really get moving in the run game. I mean, he can bend, he can block, throw to high.
Watch the back.
He's got really good feet. I mean, this guy's going to have his back operated on. But the pass pro and the emotional maturity of being consistent in performance and staying focused, not getting penalties, false starts, giving bird rabbits away, you know, in terms of not being consistent in the stands. But you can see right there, man, this guy's powerful. I mean, he just wears people out. He's still really good pass pro guy. He can mirror, he can stay in front, he gets his hands on you. You see, I mean, I'm telling you, if you want to be a trendsetter, this guy will set the trend for you of being a physical football team on the line of scrimmage.
So obviously, to nobody's surprise, Nick Saban pretty happy with the pick there for the Titans at number 7. What did you make of his analysis of Latham? I thought it was particularly interesting to hear him talk about like the pass blocking part of this and how much better he got in that. Obviously, with his size, and like you said earlier in the show, he was a big-time recruit for Alabama.
He was the top run blocking recruit they game, had in that class.
Yeah, the run blocking part of it they felt pretty good about from the start, but some clear development from Saban's perspective in pass protection.
Yeah, I mean, I think Nick Saban saying he's maybe the strongest guy they've had, that's a little bit of a statement. I mean, yeah, obviously every coach is going to say good things about their guys. But I thought there were some comments in there that were, you know, a little bit beyond the, yay, so happy for Johnny, right? And also between that and a lot of people saying he might be the strongest, including Brugler saying he might be the strongest player in the draft, obviously he's a physical presence, you know. How does that translate? You know, moving your feet, all those things.
Yep.
We'll see. But can I go back to Josh from Dixon?
Sure.
He says, go ahead and say what you need to about me, Joe, but damn it, when is this organization going to do something different? And I'm excited about Bill Callahan, but, man, it's just the same pick every year. So you're telling me you're happy with this pick? So let me ask you, Josh. So were you going to be upset if it was Joe? So basically, you're just in the camp of, like, you can't draft an offensive lineman? I mean, if that's the case, like, you're just not being realistic about what this team is. Like, I don't – like, if you're upset that Joe Alt went to the Chargers, well, okay.
Yeah.
But
a lot of Titans fans were right when it happened,
but
get it.
But again, like, the Titans didn't create that situation. Like Robbie just said, I mean, if you put me in the chair right at that moment, I would have taken Roma Dunze. I said that this week.
Yep.
I kind of liked him maybe as, you know, right there behind Marvin Harrison Jr. So, but that doesn't mean that this is a terrible pick. And I think, like you said, Robbie, it's like, I mean, if there's one position group where you kind of have to say a little bit of like, well, I mean, shoot, they probably have an idea what they want. I mean, it would be any offensive line pick, right? I mean, like,
you would think.
I mean, I would have to think, and I don't know the entire history of Bill Callahan evaluating. I'm sure he's had some misses. Everybody does. But again, if you want to go to a recent example, Jedrick Wills, Alabama right tackle, played nothing but right tackle, goes to Cleveland. Bill Callahan's like, yeah, we can make him a left tackle, turn him into a really good left tackle. So, I mean, it's not like it can't be done.
Well, look, clear, you know, my reservation has been can he play left tackle at a high level in the NFL? He didn't play left tackle in college, so can he do it at the NFL level? Clearly, I mean, obviously, the Titans and Bill Callahan thought he was better positioned to do that at the NFL level than Olu Fashanu was, or they would have taken Olu Fashanu, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, we've seen Fashanu play left tackle at a high level in college. Everybody's talking about his hands and all that other stuff, but you know, he was on the board and available for the Titans, and clearly they liked Latham more. So
that's the evaluation.
In terms of just straight up with the offensive linemen, that's the intriguing thing to me. Like, we'll never know for sure who they liked more between Ault and Latham, because like you said, I mean, now that Latham's been drafted, like, we're never going to find out the board, and whoever you end up getting in the first round is always, oh, he's one of the best players on our board, all that stuff. So we'll never know probably what the truth of that is. But we know now with Latham and Fashanu, I mean, they preferred Latham over Fashanu. It's right there for you.
And again, that matched up with information before the draft too. So, they weren't misinforming. This, I guess, the Chargers were. I will say on what you said, I want to, because Brian Callahan did say something that he basically said he was the best available to us, which made me think, you know, maybe, I mean, that's not confirmation, but you could parse that and sure. Say, so he's saying that Ault would have been the pick. I mean, if I had to guess, I would guess that, but I don't know that.
Yeah, I would guess that too. But again, that's one of those things that we'll never know. And look, J.C. Latham, I heard, you know, Trevor Maddich was talking about this on the program yesterday with Stillman and with Derek Mason, Chris Sanders, about, like, the floor. You mentioned the floor for Ault. Like, Ault, Maddich has always said throughout this whole process, is the most NFL-ready player right now. Like, to step in, be a day-one starter, like, you feel good about just throwing him in and letting him go. Like, Ault is that guy. But he did. I mean, he talked about it with Fashanu too. Like, when in terms of ceiling and, like, the eventual player that they become, Latham was right there with Ault. He believes Fashanu can be right there with Ault. So, like, it really depends on the eye of the beholder in terms of, like, what do you value most in your pick? Do you value plug-and-play ready to go right now? Or does the ceiling of what a player can ultimately be, does that influence your pick as well? Like, it depends on what you're looking for and what team it is. But the general consensus that I've been able to gather is most people believe that Latham, to some degree, Fashanu, and Ault can all be really, really good players at the NFL level.
Yeah. And the thing that's going to be interesting here, and we'll see how it works out, but there's certainly a chance, I think, that Latham, as a rookie, switching to left tackle, has more early struggles than those guys, you know?
For
so,
sure. Yeah.
I mean, so be prepared for that. I mean, that's you would think that would be possible. David says, tired of hearing fans complain all season about the offensive line being terrible, then complaining when they draft players to help. Yeah, I know it's not as fun. I mean, it'd be a lot more fun for everybody if we were talking about Rome Odunze or Brock Bowers right now. But look, Brian Callahan said it at the end of the presser. He's like, you know, because someone brought up though the playmakers, and he said, like, I'm going to get the exact quote now. I felt like if we can keep our quarterback on his feet, we're going to have a better chance to get those guys the ball. Pretty simple.
Yeah. And look, I totally understand that. There's nothing wrong with that way of thinking in my mind. I'll also say, like, if you're a Titans fan and you wanted to see them go Odunze there, or you wanted to see them go Bowers there, I mean, I can't fault you for that either. Like, I think those two are going to be really good players. 615-737-1025, our phone number. More of your reaction to the Titans selection of J.C. Latham. I almost said Joe Ault. They did not select Joe Ault. J.C. Latham at number 7 overall. Your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Friday morning, reacting to the first round of the NFL draft. Titans going with J.C. Latham at number 7 overall. And that was their one pick of the night. So the idea that some fans had heading into the draft of trading back up into the first round and getting somebody else, that also did not happen. So no trading back up after the first pick. Just one pick for the Titans.
By the way, so there were some questions on, and I think there's some misunderstandings maybe of what Ran actually said about trading back about the possibility of trading back. Do we have that? You know, so someone said he said they didn't trade back because they don't know what's going to happen late. You know, I mean, I guess anybody could say that, but I mean, again, the point of being that, well, here, let's let him speak for himself instead of me stumbling all over myself.
Is it Rand Carthon?
Did you get to trading back? Did you pursue that at all? Was that
no? We had a ton of calls, and I'm looking up at the screen now, and you know, seeing Minnesota trade, you know, up a spot, but you know, we had calls. But as we were sitting there, we were looking at the board, and like I said, we've worked through this. We knew who was going to be available to us when we picked. And so we made the pick, and we just let those teams know that, you know, unless it was an offer that was going to blow us away, it wasn't worth, you know, making a move.
Okay, so basically they didn't get a good enough offer.
Yeah, at least by their vantage point, yeah. I mean, they didn't get a good enough offer. Now, I would love to know what those offers were.
Yep.
But to your point.
Not the Bills. Bills just happy not having a receiver.
Just trading back all the time, apparently. And, you know, Atlanta taking a quarterback. There's that too.
Chiefs get the fastest guy in the world. Yeah, awesome.
That's fair. It's like, oh, good. So the fastest receiver in the draft ends up in Kansas City last night. Good stuff.
Yep.
But, look, you know, I understand, like, when Alt went off the board and Neighbors went off the board 5-6, my first thought was, oh, boy, that is not what I want to say. I mean, I said it yesterday. The dream scenario for, at least in my opinion, for the Titans.
Both of them.
Was both of them available at 7, right? And I knew that that was probably unlikely, but that was the dream scenario. But I thought there was a good chance that one of them at least would still be there at number 7. So when both of them were gone in picks 5 and 6, it's like, oh, boy. So what do you do from here? I think Adunze is really good, so that's why, you know, immediately my first reaction was, all right, Adunze. Go get Adunze. They didn't do that. They go with Latham. I would love to know what the offers were to trade back, because the one question I would have, like, if you're and the Titans, you know, have no way of knowing this, I don't think, but like, were the Jets in love with Latham? Would they have taken Latham over Fashanu? If so, like, there's only a certain amount of spots that you can trade back if you're committed to Latham at that point. But I would love to know what the offers were for them to move back and who those were coming from.
Yeah. Well, I bought into the idea that Harbaugh's stepson was going to go in the top 4, and that's where things went awry. First of all, it's amazing that he ends up the 5th quarterback. Yeah. My goodness, I mean, still first round pick. You're not going to complain about that, but you know that.
Well, you're talking 6 quarterbacks in the first 12.
Yeah, we got to at some point talk about the Sean Payton analysis of Bo Nix, which is, oh my goodness, but yeah. I'd love to know the offers, too. You know, it didn't happen. And again, it's like you're weighing so many things. You're also weighing – I mean, look, they may have had Latham because, the argument of moving back is if you can just move back to a certain point, then you can still get Fashanu. And then that's a guy who did play left tackle in college. But for all we know, the Titans had J.C. Latham miles ahead of Fashanu.
Sure.
I mean, that's the thing. There's always missing information in this. But, yeah, it's just there's some angry – And again, I'm not saying, like, if I was picking, I would have taken Rome Odunze. So I'm not saying this was, everyone be quiet, this is a great pick. But some of the anger out here, Jared from Spring Hill's like, how is he the top strongest player in the draft if he wasn't top 5 in Brent's press? I said, well, that's not the only measure of strength. As it turns out, he didn't do a lot of the testing. This is, again, this is
what it's maybe a new way of things moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, you just have to get used to it. So then,
it clearly did not hurt Marvin Harrison Jr. either.
Exactly.
Everybody thought it might.
Jared says, I just looked it up from Spring Hill, not Soft Jared, who won't come on the show, and said, I just looked up and he didn't compete due to his mental marshmallow mindset and lack of competitiveness.
There you go.
Bowers or bust is my motto. We busted, in my opinion. But, I mean, the mental marshmallow mindset and lack of competitiveness, let me tell you something. Agents run a lot of this world in pro sports, and this is an agent thing. And if an agent tells a client, nah, we're not testing anything that could remotely hurt you, then the client's going to listen. I mean, that's why you pay them. That's why you pay them 3%. So get used to it. I mean, I guess it's a bunch of soft, you know, NFL players. I watched a lot of Latham film, you know, since last night and during, you know, in the aftermath of the pick. I don't think soft would be one of the things that I would
apply. No, I don't think so either. And look, I think it's pretty clear Like, if the Titans were just in love with Brock Bowers, I think there was a scenario that they could have traded back and still gotten him. And clearly, they wanted Latham more. You're like, I mean, I guess if you're looking at it from their perspective, we knew that the Jets were either going to go tackle, and there was a lot of smoke about Bowers to them, right? Like, could the Jets take Bowers at number 10? Now, the Jets ended up trading back with Minnesota one pick. So he ended up going at 11, Fashanu did, and Bowers goes 13 to the Raiders. So you're talking about from 7 to 13, was there an opportunity in there somewhere to move back if you're Rand Carthon, had they loved Brock Bowers? Look, I think Brock Bowers is going to be a really good player in the NFL. I think Roma Dunze is going to be a really good player in the NFL, which makes me sick now that he's a Chicago Bear, but that's a discussion for another day. So, again, a Dunze would have been the way that I would have gone. But the Latham part of this, like, strength does matter, right? Like, and I think another part about him is he can move pretty well. Like, he's a good athlete. I mean, there's a reason why he played as much as he did at Alabama, as quickly as he did at Alabama. And now the question is, in the NFL game, can you take the skill set that he clearly has, move it to the left side, and how quickly, now that you have Bill Callahan, and Bill Callahan has been with him, and they have watched film together, and he has done a deep dive on J.C. Latham, how quickly can Bill Callahan get him up to speed on the other side of the ball and let the natural skills that he brings to the table kind of take over at that point? Like, it's with any rookie. Like, I think for the most part, and we'll see about Joe Alt, whether he comes in and is just immediately ready to go. I do think there's an adjustment period for most rookies of getting your feet wet, figuring out what it's like at the NFL level, the welcome to the NFL moments. So, like, if J.C. Latham goes out there in week one and it's not clean and there are some false start penalties and he gets beat on a few pass sets, like, people are going to freak out, and I get it. But it is a rookie. I'm interested to see, now that the selection has been made, what does the Bill Callahan factor look like in terms of bringing him along? How quickly can he do it?
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, you can flip it around, and because obviously Bill Callahan's working with other guys too. I mean, I'm very intrigued to see Bill Callahan with Peter Skoronski. Peter Skoronski, sure, passed the appendix stuff, full year of, you know, working out after a rookie year.
By the way, that's your left side now.
I mean,
that's it. It's Latham and Skoronski.
You could get excited if you want, if you're a Titans fan, about the prospect of Latham and Skoronski on that left side mauling people, you know, and now Cushenberry in its center.
Run left.
Yeah, well, and think about just like the difference. You think about, like, you know, Dillard, you know, rookie Skoronski and Brewer at times, and then what this could look like.
Yeah.
You could get excited if you want to. But if you want to be mad, you can be mad today. Someone's asked me who's my Bryce Young of this draft, since he absolutely sucked ass last year that you said was better than Stroud. Hey, let me tell you something. I believe Bryce Young is 1-0 against C.J. Stroud and had better stats than him, even though he played with, like, the worst team in the NFL. And another thing on that, I love the Panthers getting Xavier Legarrette.
I do too.
I like that.
I don't really know why they moved up from 33 to 32 in order to do it.
These one spot jumps are really interesting, aren't they?
I didn't quite understand that, but I like the pick. I guess is it to get the fifth year option on him? I mean, I guess that's what they're doing. But
I like the player.
It was nice to see the last shot I saw last night before I turned the TV off was David Tepper in there, just like, way to go, guys. Yeah, way to go, way to go, way to go. It's like, oh, God.
Here we go. Well, it must be such a great work environment.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Coming up next, we'll continue to take your reaction to the first round of the NFL draft, the Titan selection of J.C. Latham. All that coming up, more of your thoughts to get to on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Tune in to 93.3 Classic Hits today as the Nashville Sounds take on the Louisville Bats on the road. Pre-game at 6 o'clock, first pitch at 6:15. Coverage also available on the 93.3 Classic Hits app and at 93.3ClassicHits.com. Sounds baseball on 93.3 Classic Hits, presented by Twin Peaks, Family Leisure, and Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.